Well, yesterday we brought you the story of a Dalhousie medical student who spent her summer in Dublin researching the famous Handel oratorio we hear so frequently this time of year, Messiah. Creasa McAllister was intrigued when she heard that a Dublin hospital might actually have an original manuscript of the Messiah. Her summer research never did turn up that document, but she discovered so much more about the musician and his masterpiece. We left off yesterday, just as the Messiah was being prepared for its first performance in Dublin in 1742.
Members of the public are to buy their tickets from Handel's Dublin House on Abbey Street. As with Handel's series subscription concerts, ticket holders are entitled to attend the rehearsal performance of Messiah, as well as the formal performance the following week. Handel laid out several conditions and stipulations to the charities involved in the first performance, one of which was the participation of two choirs, St. Patrick's Cathedral Choir and Christ Church Choir. These conditions were an essential component to Messiah's success. The two choirs did agree to benevolently participate in the first performance of Messiah, but with some difficulty. The charitable foundations applied to the deans of Christ Church and St. Patrick's Cathedral for their assistance. However, the renowned Dean Jonathan Swift, author of Gulliver's Travels, forbade the choirs from assisting the performance of sacred music at a secular establishment such as Neil's Music Hall.
I deny to certain vicars to assist a club of fiddlers in Fishamble Street to appear there as songsters, fiddlers, pipes, trumpeters, drummers, drum majors, or in any sonal quality.
Eventually, on account of the charitable nature of the request, Dean Jonathan Swift agreed to the conditions, and the choirs began to prepare for the performance. In anticipation of a large audience, Faulkner's Journal announces,
"Ladies are requested to come without hoops and gentlemen without swords."
I discovered Faulkner's Journal, a Dublin weekly, on microfiche at the National Library of Ireland. In Handel's time, the journal was a source of worldly current events and also local celebrities' gossip and advertisements. Messiah is received enthusiastically by Dublin society, and an account of the night is written up in Dublin's Faulkner's Journal on April 17, 1742.
On Tuesday last, Mr. Handel's sacred grand oratorio, The Messiah, was performed in the new music hall in Fishamble Street. The best judges allowed it to be the most finished piece of music. The sublime, the grand, and the tender adapted to the most elevated, majestic, and moving words, conspired to transport and charm the ravished heart and ear. It is but justice to Mr. Handel that the world should know he generously gave the money arising from this grand performance to be equally shared by the Society for Relieving Prisoners, the Charitable Infirmary, and Mercer's Hospital, for which they will ever gratefully remember his name.
Having just completed an overwhelmingly successful musical season in Dublin, including the premiere of his Messiah, Handel decides to return to England. Here he hopes to renew his popularity by premiering his grand sacred oratorio to the English nobility. A considerable change took place in English sentiment. Many of the English nobility accepted this success, and Handel regained popularity.
Dublin, Faulkner's Journal, March 1743. Our friend Mr. Handel is very well, and things have taken a quite different turn here from what they did some time past. For the public will be no longer imposed on by the Italian singers and wrong-headed undertakers of bad operas, but find out the merit of Mr. Handel's compositions and English performances. That gentleman is more esteemed now than ever.
During Lent of 1743, Handel introduced Messiah to the English nobility in London's Covent Garden Theatre. He was received with admiration, although some were uncomfortable with this sacred work being performed in a theater.
The audience were exceedingly struck and affected by the music in general. But when the chorus struck up, "For the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth," they were so transported that they all, with the king, who happened to be present, started up and remained standing till the chorus ended. And hence it became fashion in England to stand while that part of the music's performing.
The tradition of standing during the Hallelujah Chorus remains to this day in modern performances of Handel's Messiah. Handel's profound devotion to higher themes and the Holy Scriptures continued throughout his life. When asked of the public's interest in his oratorios, Handel stated,
"I should be sorry if I only entertained them. I wish to make them better."
Back in Dublin, it became a custom to perform Handel's sacred music yearly. In 1743, Handel sent a score of Messiah to be used for the benefit of several medical charities. The yearly charitable performance of Messiah at Mercer's Hospital became so popular that the Lord Chancellor and the 12 judges of the Irish House of Commons commonly adjourned on the day of the performance.
Music was a major source of income for Mercer's. The performances usually took place in St. Andrew's Church. They were splendid occasions, attended by the Lord Lieutenant. A captain's guard was mustered. Stewards from the nobility and gentry carried gilt and white rods respectively. Matting was laid in the nave. Carpets and cushions were provided for distinguished guests. Parliament and the law courts were adjourned.
Handel was also actively involved with English charitable foundations. Up until the year of his death, he participated in a yearly performance of Messiah for the benefit of the Foundling Hospital, established for English orphans. These annual concerts continue today under the Foundling Foundation. It is said that no other work of music has contributed to charitable foundations as much as Handel's Messiah. Handel, blind in both eyes, appeared for the last time in public for the performance of Messiah on April 6, 1759. It was the week before his death, but he was still able to accompany on the organ.
To see him led to the organ at upwards of 75 years of age, and then conducted toward the audience to make his accustomed obeisance, was a sight so truly afflicting and deplorable to persons of sensibility.
Dr. Burney's description brings a vivid image of Handel to mind, performing his last Messiah. "I realize now, through my discovery of Messiah's first performance in Dublin, that I spent all this time looking for a piece of paper, but instead, I found a human being." Handel would not leave his house after this last performance. In his dying bed, he expressed a wish to die on a Good Friday.
"In hopes of meeting my good God, my sweet Lord and Savior, on the day of his resurrection."
Handel's wish was granted. He passed away at 75 years of age on the morning of Good Friday, April 13th, 1759, exactly 17 years after the first performance in Dublin of his most acclaimed work. Handel had spent 49 years of his life in England and requested to be buried in Westminster Abbey with a monument erected by his grave. Handel was buried in Poets' Corner, and the monument erected by Rubidiac represents Handel in the act of composing his Messiah and setting "I Know That My Redeemer Liveth" to music.
"I did think I did see all heaven before me and the great God himself."
Creasa McAllister is a second-year medical student at Dalhousie University. And the actor you heard is Nigel Bennett. Musical excerpts were taken from a recording of The Messiah by the Academy of St. Martin's in the Fields, conducted by Sir Neville Mariner on the occasion of the 250th anniversary performance.